In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. This last Sunday of preparation before the beginning of our Lenten retreat, the Church, having first encouraged us to the virtue of humility, a humility then that prepares us to receive the living Word of God Himself, now sets before us the mystery of the Lord's cross. The Lord is very clear as to what it is that will happen and how it will happen and what the results actually be. There is nothing hidden. There is nothing secret. They will go up to Jerusalem, so that which the prophets themselves had foretold would indeed come to pass. The Lord will be mocked. He will be scourged and spat upon. He will be ridiculed and betrayed. He will be put to death, and on the third day he will rise to new life. That they did not understand came in large measure because it was hard for them to accept this indeed was what was going to happen, that indeed this had to happen, and this is the manner in which it was going to unfold. But as it is for the apostles, in truth, brothers and sisters, it also is for us. A refusal to accept and understand the centrality and the necessity of the cross of Christ. In the modern age, it seems we have become embarrassed by the mystery of the Lord's cross. Not only that the cross has brought about salvation, but just as importantly, that we must, if we want to share in that salvation, carry our own crosses as well. As a result, our ignorance, our lack of understanding, has made it difficult for us to accept suffering. Even the slightest inconvenience brings about any manner of questions as to why me and why this and why now. We seek in all sorts of ways to make our lives easy and convenient. And of course, society and culture, technologically, scientifically, has provided us with any manner of things to help us actually achieve that. And so we have come to believe that we deserve comfort and ease, and that we should do all that we can to avoid suffering in body, mind, and spirit. And if the end result of that is that others may suffer in order that I might find this elusive peace, then so be it. And I guess in one sense that might be okay for the modern age, that they remained steeped in their ignorance and their doubt and their lack of understanding. But we who are believers simply cannot be that way, and nor can we live that way. The Lord has not duped us. The Lord has not tricked us. He's not lied to us or hidden from us what it is that it is required in order to be an apostle, to follow after him. And as he asks for us, he himself first did. The cross is not something he hands to us and says, you must do this and I will go about my way. Again, as we hear in our gospel, he who is the Son of Man does this first, prepares the way for us, and shows us the manner in which we can rejoice in this new life that he is going to gain for us. And so we are going to begin the Lenten season through prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, consciously and deliberately offering up and making sacrifices. What is it that you are going to do? This is not a rhetorical question. It must be concrete. It also must cost you something. It can't be giving up vegetables if you don't like vegetables. There is no sacrifice in that. You must offer up something that will lose you something in order that you can gain something even greater. Because the opposite, if you will, of this lack of understanding, this ignorance that the apostles themselves seem to be steeped in, is this man who is blind, who wants to see. He knows who Jesus of Nazareth is, and he knows what it is that he can do. And he knows what his response must be, to call out in a loud voice, regardless of those around him telling him to be quiet, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. With that mercy, with that entreating of the Lord comes to him and indeed provides for him what it is that he asks in faith. And so it will be for us as well. But that disposition to call upon the Lord is brought about by an emptiness and a poverty of spirit. If we somehow remain steadfast in doing things our own way, holding fast to our own dispositions and being self-directed and willful, it will be difficult for us to call upon the Lord. The carrying of the cross, The daily dying to ourselves that we will undertake more deliberately in Lent is given to us not only to help us rejoice in the new life that the Lord gives to us, but to purify us and to empty us so that God might be the one to actually fill us up. These are not rhetorical exercises, and nor are they merely intellectual constructs, words that the church speaks over and over again, but doesn't actually expect us to realize. The opposite, brothers and sisters, is the truth. We must live this in our daily lives, in every moment of our daily lives. I stand before you not a perfect practitioner, but one who fails miserably and often to embrace the crosses that the Lord provides for me. But the answer is not to then set aside the cross completely, but to entreat the Lord for his mercy, his compassion, to provide me strength in the midst of my weakness, so that I can rise up and hopefully, at least for a moment, carry well the cross that he bestows upon me. Because then, as he himself makes clear, as he rises on the third day, so we are allowed to share in that same glory. But there is no other way to share than to participate in the cross. There is no glory of new life unless it is preceded by dying to self in God in Christ. And so our time of preparation has now come to an end, and our Lenten journey is almost upon us. Use these remaining days to write down, if need be, what it is that you will do, and be serious in committing yourself to what it is you are going to do. Do not lightly excuse yourself from your Lenten disciplines. Take advantage of the sacrament of reconciliation, where the Lord allows you to fall down upon your knees and beg him for his mercy, knowing that indeed with a contrite, humble heart, that mercy will be bestowed upon you. And then in the fullness of time, that new life that the Lord has indeed gained for us upon his own cross, by our sharing in his dying, we too will also share in his new life. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.